Steve.
Thank you for that singing this morning. Let's turn it to our Bibles to the book of Proverbs. You know, the last time we were in the book of Proverbs, we transitioned from the extended wisdom teachings of wisdom personified. We saw Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly, and this was a few weeks ago. Then we transitioned to the short pithy sayings that you see from chapter 10 all the way through chapter 22. We started to look at some different themes. Is that, that's coming up? Do you want to turn that one on too so I can see where I'm at there, Clarence? I'm going to wait because I have some slides for you to see here. There we go. There's that first slide right there too. So we use this verse right here as our springboard. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so knowledge of God, what God loves, what God hates, and understanding that is going to help us to live a life that's pleasing to God. And so the first theme we looked at in chapters 10 through 22 was the sovereignty of God. So we looked at this key verse, and then we looked at a wise son then is a person who fears the Lord. He has a reverence or a respect for God. It's based on a relationship with God. You can't have the right reverence or respect for God unless you have a relationship with God through putting your faith in Jesus Christ. God sent His Son. And apart from Jesus Christ, you're an enemy of God. You're under God's wrath. So I need a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I need my sins forgiven so I can be reconciled to Him. And so reverence for God based on a relationship with God, expressed through submission to God, because I have a right relationship with God, I want to live for God. I'm going to submit to God's authority, God's word, therefore bringing glory to God. And so a wise son makes a father glad. That kind of son has a father that is glad. We looked at the choices of a child. A choice a child makes will either bring joy or sorrow to a parent. Parents, can you attest to that? And you can. And so how we live our lives out makes a parent either joyful or full of sorrow. And so this springboard, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, the fear of the Lord, reverence for God based on a relationship with God, and then submitting to God's authority makes our Father glad. And so to have a glad Heavenly Father, I need to understand who God is. I need to understand what God loves and what God hates, and I need to love and hate what God loves and hates. This makes our Father glad. So we need to let that shape and mold us. Now this morning, we'll go to theme two, pride in Proverbs. So we looked at God's sovereignty in the book of Proverbs. Now we'll look at theme two, and we're going to look at pride in Proverbs. So let's pray. We'll be looking at several different passages in the book of Proverbs as we look at this theme that we see. The word pride appears seven times in Proverbs. Proud appears seven times. The word arrogance two times. The opposite, humble or humility, appears eight times. And so you see that theme going through this book. If we want to be wise children of God, if we want to make our Father glad, we need to understand what God thinks about pride. Lord, I just pray today that we would be attentive to Your Word, that we would understand what You think about pride, that we would understand this theme that we see in Proverbs, and that we would allow this to shape and to mold us. So Lord, I just pray that I wouldn't get in the way of the text, that You would be exalted today in our response to Your Word. Perhaps there's an element of pride in our lives this morning. I pray that that would be rooted out, that we would respond in the correct way so we can make You glad, so that we can be children that would please You, our Heavenly Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want to point out this morning is God hates pride. God hates pride. Proverbs 6, 17, and 18. Let's turn there, and that's where we'll start this morning. Proverbs 6. I'll actually start in verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. And look at the first one on the list. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. The Lord hates pride. Now look at Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Again, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Evil, what is evil? And then pride and arrogance. You can't help but see those words really are synonymous, evil and pride. They're used synonymously in this text. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. And so you see this word, it's an abomination. It's wicked. Pride is wickedness. And so God hates pride. What does it mean to hate? How many have used that word hate? And we use it about things. It's a really strong word, isn't it? And sometimes we use that word where we shouldn't. But to hate is to absolutely despise or to loathe something. And if you say you hate something and you despise it, you loathe it. What's the opposite of hate? Anybody with me this morning? Love, right? And love is the opposite of hate. In fact, let's go to Proverbs 3:12. This will give us a little bit more of a glimpse. Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loves, okay, that's the opposite of hate, whom the Lord loves, He corrects just as a father the son in whom He delights. And so to love something is to delight in it. To hate something is to despise or to loathe it. Proverbs 6, it says, a proud look is an abomination to Him. It's wickedness to Him. God hates pride. We've looked at what hate is. What is pride? Well, pride is, it's arrogance. It's to exalt self. Proverbs 21:4 says, a haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. Okay, a haughty heart. The King James Version says a high look. That's a compound word in the Hebrew. Ayin means eye, and room means high or lofty. So a lofty look. We've used the phrase, or maybe you've used the phrase, to look down your nose at someone. That's a high look, and you look down your nose. That high look, you're looking at someone as if you are above them. You're better than them. You despise them because they're not as good as you. That's pride. That's arrogance. And God hates this. He despises it. He calls it sin. He calls it wicked. And so knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I need to know that God hates pride. I want to drive that home this morning. God hates pride. And so for me to make my Father glad, I need to have that understanding of the Holy One that God hates pride, and I need to hate it in the same way He does. In fact, if we continue to look at Proverbs, God resists the proud. Look at Proverbs. I'm going to just pull these up. Proverbs 15:25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but He will establish the boundary of the widow. God will destroy the house of the proud. Proverbs 16:5, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. We already read this, though they join forces, none will go unpunished. And so it's wickedness. They will not go unpunished. So the proud will be punished. The proud will be destroyed. There's a typo in your bulletin. Can you imagine that? Can't believe I missed this. Proverbs 28, it should say 25. Proverbs 28:25. You know, I get here at about 6:30 in the morning, Sunday morning, and I walk through my PowerPoint and my message, and I caught this morning. 28:25, he who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. So he is a proud heart, he stirs up strife. God opposes the proud. To go outside the book of Proverbs, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, the opposite of pride. Be clothed with humility, submit yourself, willingly place yourself under another. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so God hates pride and he resists the proud. Now, can you think of any biblical examples of people or beings that God resisted? Anyone come to mind? Okay, I heard Nebuchadnezzar. Anyone else? Pharaoh? We got all three that I have in here. And there's more, but Satan. What was Satan's sin? It was the sin of what? I will. It was I will. I will be like the Most High God. He was going to usurp God's authority. It was the sin of pride. Has God resisted and does he resist Satan? And we look around and you think that evil is winning or prevailing, and it doesn't. We know the end of the story, right? God resists the proud. He resists Satan. I heard someone else mention Pharaoh. Go back to Exodus. The children of Israel are there. Joseph was sold into slavery, and God used Joseph to sustain the people, but there arose a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph, and the Israelites were enslaved, and he was a fierce dictator. Harsh labor. And if you look at that, you might say, well, God hardened Pharaoh's heart, but Pharaoh hardened his own heart first. He was a brutal dictator, and God further hardened an already hardened heart. But Pharaoh was an arrogant, proud man. Did God humble him? Did God resist him? Absolutely. Someone else mentioned Nebuchadnezzar. And let's go back to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Let's look at verse 28 and following. Nebuchadnezzar, he's a world ruler. He's in power. He has control. He has riches. And it says, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal place of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling of my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? Do you see the pride there? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, 7 times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. His arrogance, his pride, and he's brought low. God resisted him. And then verse 34, at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. He had to be humbled before he'd come to the point where he recognized who God was. And so we can go to Scripture and we see that what God says is true. He resists the proud. He hates pride, and he resists the proud. But can you think today? I mean, we've seen examples from Scripture. Can you look around today? Do you see arrogance and pride anywhere? It's all over, right? How about athletes, professional athletes? You ever see any arrogant professional athletes? Most of them are full of themselves. Most of them are arrogant. Most of them pound their chest, tell you how great they are, that they're the best, nobody's better than them. And the arrogance, it's all over in professional sports. And not only that, but it trickles down and you see high school kids mimicking their heroes, right? And the arrogance that's there. The pride, I'm the best, nobody's better than me. There's a song that's played, a lot of high school sports teams play this, and it's something, I've heard the words, but one phrase in there is, I'm unstoppable. And they play that, and they sing that they're unstoppable, and then what happens? They get whipped. They're not unstoppable. But you see the arrogance. You see the pride. I don't want to mention any names. He used to play for the Packers, and I shouldn't be happy that he tore his Achilles last year, but I was hoping maybe that would humble him. Not looking over here to these Packer fans. But you see that arrogance. No glory is given to God for the ability that God has given them. Pound their chest. Arrogance, the pride, and then our young mimic them. They idolize them. What does God think about that attitude? What does God think about that pride? He hates it. He loathes it. He despises that attitude. Politicians. Are there any arrogant politicians out there? Maybe a better question is, are there any that aren't? But I mean, we're in an election year, and you're going to see commercials, and they're going to stand in there and tell you how great they are and everything that they have done with no recognition to God. Arrogance. Look at my record. I did this. I did that. I built this. I. It's all about them. God hates pride. He loathes it. Actors, actresses. You ever seen an arrogant actor or actress? They're all over the place too. Hollywood is full of arrogance. And they set themselves up as gods. And what humility you do see is usually a publicity stunt. They're going to give to the poor drill wells in Africa, and then they want the cameras there to show how nice they are. I read one quote that said this, "Pride is the only disease known to man that makes everyone sick except the person who has it." Isn't that true? It makes everyone around them sick. Pride's easy to see in other people, isn't it? But as I was preaching this to myself this week, I thought, what about you, Steve? Are you ever proud? You ever arrogant? How about you and I? Do we have? Is there any area in our life that we have pride or arrogance in our life? Because as you stop and think about this, we all struggle with pride, I think, don't we? Don't we all struggle with pride at certain times, certain areas? Just maybe a few areas. How about knowledge? The Bible says knowledge puffs up. And I'm not, is it good to learn? We should always be learning. We should always be growing. But I heard a pastor say one time, and this pastor had just gotten his doctorate. But here's what he said, and he'd been in the pulpit for years prior to this, but he got his doctorate, and he said, nobody's qualified to stand in a pulpit unless they have their doctorate. Oh, man, you were disqualified for all those years, but you were in a pulpit. And that was a phrase of arrogance. And again, I'm not against getting your doctorate, but if it's just to have a piece of paper and to fill you with pride, then it's wrong. Because a piece of paper doesn't make you better than someone, means that you have a piece of paper that maybe cost $100,000. Maybe that's all it means. I don't know. I remember going through ordination and Pastor Bill Phillips, he said, don't you ever tell somebody to call you reverend. Don't be arrogant. Again, I'm not against education for the sake of learning, but I'm against education for the sake of pride. Knowledge puffs up. And knowledge can be a source of pride. Ability, gifts, talents. Who gave you the ability? Who gave you the ability to jump that high, run that fast, throw that far? Where did it come from? Who gave it to us? Every good and perfect gift came from above. Yeah, we develop gifts. You have to work and train. Yeah, but who gave you that arm? Who gave you those gifts? Who gave you that talents? And we are to strive to do all to the glory of God, not the glory of self. That's why you see these professional athletes and they sit and pound their chest, say how great they are. How about, praise God for giving me that gift or that ability. And I want to use it for His glory. Here's one I really struggle with, is looks. Not really. You know how long it took me to blow dry my hair this morning? It was done. Over. But we are fearfully and wonderfully made, aren't we? And we're all fearfully and wonderfully made, so there shouldn't be a false humility of, oh, you know, woe is me. And we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And there's things we can do to change our bodies. We can diet and exercise. There's things that we can't change and shouldn't change. But some people are really proud of how they look. They're standing looking in front of a mirror. You ever see people, they pull their phone out and, you know, make them big lips? You know? I didn't turn to you because I didn't want anybody taking a picture. But they're really proud of their looks and how they look, and they want everybody to know it. Here's one that really, I mean, this one really hit home to me, and I'll give you an illustration in a little bit. Most of you, some of you have heard it, probably not most. How about morals and work ethic? I work hard. And that can be a source of pride. Or morals, even having a knowledge of God's Word, we can become proud of it, right? And we should be in God's Word and we should know it, but there can be an arrogance. I can be arrogant about this. So we can be proud about these things. And it's good to have a good work ethic. But we need to be careful not to become filled with pride. The illustration that some of you have heard, I was probably mid-20s. I had worked through my apprenticeship, my electrical apprenticeship. I had taken my journeyman's test. I passed it. I was running some pretty good-sized jobs. We had just built a house that had a lake view. And this guy moves in across the road, and he's down. He's putting in a mailbox. And this guy, he's a little shorter than mine. He's pretty stocky. So I go over and introduce myself to him, so I said, where do you work? He said, I don't. By the way, my lake view was over the roof of his house because he lived on the lake. And so he said, I don't. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I was driving drunk, got in an accident. I'm deaf in one ear. I'm like, what's that have to do with your hands and your feet? But he didn't work. And I was upset. I thought, oh, I'm buying your lake home. And I walked away from this guy, and I was looking down my nose at him because I worked hard, and he didn't. So I go back up to my house. I didn't talk to him. I had nothing to do with that guy. Well, he disappeared. He was gone, and there's an older guy there. So I go to introduce myself to this older guy, and he said, "Yeah, that's my son. My son owns it, but he went to prison." Well, I got even more arrogant because I heard he went to prison for selling drugs, and I'm thinking, I was right about that guy. And so this older guy is there for a while, and then all of a sudden the younger guy's back. And I shouldn't say all of a sudden. It was probably a year and a half, and he's back. And I knew he was back because he's walking up my driveway. And he knocks on my door. I open the door, and he starts sharing the gospel with me. He got saved in prison. A prison ministry, somebody went in, shared the gospel with him. He put his faith in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what, I hung my head. I rejoiced in his salvation. And then I hung my head and I apologized to him. I said, "You know what? I need to apologize to you. Because of my pride and my arrogance, I didn't share the gospel with him." Isn't that a shame? God hated my pride. And I thought to myself, what if I would have shared the gospel with him 2 years ago? What if I wouldn't have been looking down my nose, having that high look, and instead shared the gospel with him then? Maybe he wouldn't have gone to prison. You see that arrogance over a work ethic? That's what I had. No, right. That was a no. That's correct. That's what it was. It was pride. It was arrogance. God hates that. You know, at that point, Carrie and I, he actually started coming to church with us, him and his daughter. Daughter would come out to Awana's, and he'd come to Bible study. But God humbled me. But still, it can creep up. Still struggle with pride in different areas. And it has to be rooted out. I have to continue to understand and have the knowledge of the Holy One that God hates pride. And it needs to be weeded out of our lives. It needs to be weeded out of my life. How about anger? Doesn't anger often tie in with pride? Why do we get angry? Why am I upset? Because I didn't get what I wanted when I wanted it, and someone didn't treat me the way I thought I should be treated, and so I get angry. What is it? It's pride. What's God think about that? God hates pride. Micromanaging is a form of pride. We ask someone to do something, then peer over their shoulder and want to tell them how to do it. Why do we do that? Because we're the only ones that can do it right. Right? In our minds, that's it. I, you talk to somebody, I did this, I did that. It's pride. It's arrogance. And we've all witnessed some popular athletes, actors, actresses, politicians, pastors being brought down because of pride. How many remember Deion Sanders? Anybody know Deion Sanders? The most arrogant kick returner, defensive back that played football. That guy, I did not like him. He was so arrogant. And I come home one day and Carrie says, "Did you hear? Deion Sanders got saved." I said, "What?" And sure enough, I watch Monday Night Football and he returns a kick for a touchdown and he gets in the end zone and instead of beating his chest and he gets down, he kneels down, bows his head and the announcer says, "Deion found God." But if you listen to his interviews now, he'll give God the glory. Prior to, you know what happened though, is he was at the brink. He was going to kill himself. This arrogance had been brought low to the point where he was suicidal. Is there still arrogance at times? Yeah, but a huge difference. But what about in us? Is there pride in our lives? What's the cure for pride? Because I think we all struggle with it at times, different areas, but what is the cure for pride? The cure for pride is humility. And I'm not talking about a false humility. I'm no good, I can't do anything, I'm worthless. I'm talking about a true humility. A true humility that has the proper view of God, others, and self. That's the true humility that we need to have. It's not tearing down self, but it's giving God the praise and the glory. So when you score that touchdown, or you build that beautiful cabinet, or whatever it is that you do, and someone looks at that and says, "Man, look at that, is beautiful," what do you say? Praise God. Praise God that He allowed me to do that. Praise God that He gave me the ability to do that. That He gave me the hands to do it. Give God the glory. According to James, every good and perfect gift comes from God. So proper humility gives God the glory due His name. And humility is doing it all for the glory of God. That true humility is seen in Philippians 2, 3 through 8. You guys have it memorized? Close. Let's go back to Philippians. Kevin and Jane's kids have been working on this, that's why. Plus she told me, no. Philippians 2, 3 through 8. And the proper view, okay, proper view of God and others. Look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also on the interests of others. I go back to that story about my neighbor. Was I looking at him as if he was better than me? No. I looked at him as if I was better than him. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, then God highly exalted him. So the proper view of self, the proper view of others, the proper view of God. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 19. Go back to 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 19. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. In chapter 15, verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is what? Humility. It's humility. You know, Les Ole Lowell at Northland used to say, "I'm just a lump of clay with air breathed into it." What we are. I'm a lump of clay with air breathed into it. And anything good that comes out of this lump of clay is because of Him. It's not me. It's because of Him. And who does the glory belong to? It belongs to Him. And so the so what this morning, the application. Get a grip. Get a grip on how much God hates pride. What does God think of pride, people? Let's try it again. What does God think of pride? He hates it. And we got to get a grip on that. God hates pride. He loathes it. He despises it. So my challenge today for you, and it is for me, to ask the Lord to show us areas of pride in our life. Lord, what area in my life is pride evident? Reveal it to me. Is it knowledge? Is it work ethic? Is it looks? Is it ability? Is it talents? What is it? Lord, show me areas of pride in my life. And then confess that pride as sin. Call it what it is. Pride is sin. And that word today is thrown around like it's something that's good. What's happening today? A pride event. Debauchery event. And we tell people, you should be proud. But confess it. Agree with God that this is an area in my life that it's full of pride. It's sin. So confess it. And then repent of that pride. Repentance is a change of mind, results in a change of direction. So if I confess that this is sin, but I keep doing it, I haven't repented of it. I haven't turned from it. I'm still living in it. And then pursue humility. How do I pursue humility? Give God the glory. And give others the priority. Don't look at your own interests, but look at the interest of others. Put others first. Don't look down your nose at them. You have a neighbor, a coworker that just doesn't seem to meet your standards? Serve him. Minister to him. Share the gospel with him. Give God the glory and give others the priority and learn to hate pride. Not just in others, because that's easy to do, isn't it? Because pride makes us sick when we see it in other people. But it should make us sick when we realize that there's pride in our lives too, right? Because God hates pride, doesn't he? I think we're getting it. The fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If I can grasp that God hates pride, and I let that permeate through my own life and learn to love what God loves and hate what he hates, I'll make my Father glad. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the reminder in this book of pride. I've been convicted this week. So easy to see in others. It's so easy to see in the athletes, the politicians, the actors, the actresses, everyone else. Lord, you hate the pride in my life. So I pray, Lord, that you would reveal it. Help me to deal with it. And give you the glory and others the priority. Lord, help us all to see pride the way you do. And help us to deal with it as sin, which it is. May you be glorified. May we make you, our Father, glad. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.